just you and me here now.
Lord, we're so thankful to be here. And I pray that you just do a work in each of our hearts, in each of our minds this morning. May your Holy Spirit have free reign here. Lord, may we be hunger and desire to seek you this morning like we never have before. May you answer us this morning, Lord Jesus. Be with us now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, last week we talked about what are you partaking of. I know not everybody was here last week, but are you partaking of the good fruit or the bad fruit? And this week, what I want to talk about is the fruit of the Spirit. I hope you will be open to what the Lord has to say to us this morning. We're going to begin in John chapter 15. And you probably studied these verses a lot yourself. We preached and talked about these verses a lot. But you know, sometimes when you hear verses a lot, they can kind of, you get so used to them that you forget and you don't understand that there could be a meaning that God's trying to really reach inside and talk to you about. And so, John chapter 15 verse 1, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So have any of you ever been in points in your life, and I hope you have, I've been there where you think, I'm not really bearing much fruit. If we're honest with ourselves, sometimes there's points in our life that we're really not bearing good fruit. We're not bearing much fruit. And I wonder how many of us, when we're in those moments, ever look back and go, well, I'm really not plugged into my Heavenly Father the way that I'm supposed to be. And that's why I'm not bearing that fruit. You know, we can blame circumstances, problems, coworkers, problems at home, financial problems, COVID. You can blame all these things for not bearing much fruit. But in reality, I think the problem lies with us not being plugged into our Heavenly Father. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we're plugged in, he said, we're going to bear much fruit. Much. Verse 6 says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burn. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Remaining in him, remaining in his word, and there will be much fruit being bore. Last night, me and Crystal went for a walk about sunset. And I'd been noticing these branches in the yard and in different spots. And it's like, man, I'm getting a lot of dead limbs. And I don't know where they're all coming from. And I thought I need to spend some time picking them up, but I hadn't yet. And but we're walking down the driveway, and we've got this real tall pine tree right there. And I'd been noticing for the last several weeks it dropping branches. Well, I'm noticing more and more and more, but I'm just looking at the branches. And last night, I looked up and I went, that whole tree's dead. That's why it's dropping so many branches. The whole tree's dead. Now it's like, oh, I'm going to have to call my brother, get him come over, dad, maybe borrow Tim's come along again and cut this stupid tree down because it's so big and so tall, but it's dead. It no longer has life. So it's no longer going to bear anything. Church, I wonder how many of us in our Christian walk with God, we feel that way. We have no life left. We feel like we're not bearing any good fruit. We feel like we're withering up and we've got branches falling off, so to speak, of our life. And I hope I can get there in a minute, but where I'm going is that there's a lot of people feeling that way right now because of everything going on in our society, everything going on in the world. We feel disconnected. We're fortunate to be able to meet the way we're meeting. You know, other states, other places, they're not meeting in person still. They're still, I've got family that's still, pretty much sheltered in place. And it's like, you know, I feel very fortunate to live where we live, that I'm able to still go to work and go to the grocery store and everything. But all that stuff can wear on you after a while. You can it wears on me. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of a mask. I'm tired of having to be careful. Yesterday I was going to get ice because we can't drink the water. And I got up to the door and it hit me. I don't got a mask. And they got a big sign on the door, please wear your mask. Well, you know, I could be like, because I think a mask is doing me no good. I can be like, well, I'm good and go on in. But no, the sign says, please wear a mask. So I had to walk all the way back out to my truck and get my mask on. I wanted to be obedient to what the sign said. Didn't want to cause any problems. But it wears on you. I feel like life should be back to normal, and it's not. In church, sometimes in our walk with God, I think that for many of us that's walked with Him for years, that sometimes with the pressures and the trials that we're going through, we get unplugged and we quit bearing the type of fruit that we should be bearing. Verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. So if you're not bearing much fruit, you say, well, I do read my Bible, but are you being obedient and remaining in His love and doing and loving others the way Christ has called us to love others? I think sometimes when we're not bearing much fruit, we make every excuse in the book other than looking at ourselves and examining our own life and what we're doing. Verse 11 says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I've got joy underlined in my Bible here. Because how many of us lack joy? I've lacked joy. I think it was almost a year ago. I had the men in the church pray for me because I'd lost my joy. And the men prayed over me, and man, it worked. My joy was restored, and man, the peace of God and the joy that I felt like I'd lost came back, you know? But you look around, and I almost would say it doesn't matter if it's the worldly homes or the so-called Christian homes, that all the people that have no joy, that's taking medicines, that's doing different things because they have no peace, they have no joy. But he's saying, my joy should be in you and that your joy should be complete. But you look around in our country and you look around in our homes and there's not a lot of people full of that joy. He says in verse 12, my commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. If you are my friend and if you do what I, you are my friend if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. You're chosen today. Mitzi sang that song. You were chosen. You were chosen today. You know, in school and you'd be picking teams for basketball or dodgeball or whatever. I always hated it because I didn't want to be the last kid picked. Anybody else ever been the last kid picked? I was sometimes the last kid picked. And man, it's just something inside like, oh, you can have him. Like, you're the leftover. And, you know, it just makes you feel bad, you know. No, nobody has to feel bad this morning. God chose you. God chose you today. You're not the last picked. God chose you. He chose you. And what did He say? And I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Lord will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about living for God, and it involves action and it involves doing. And here it is again that we are to go and bear much fruit, fruit that will last, and that we're to love each other. That's the lasting kind of fruit. When you love somebody, that's the lasting kind of fruit. You know, and when we show our love in so many different ways, I might have already told you all this story, but maybe I didn't. But it's just funny because this man came and laid carpet at our house a few weeks ago, and he lived here as a little boy, and he was my neighbor, and we played on the same baseball team, and he started telling me this story about a baseball game that we were in. And I was catcher and he was pitcher, and he said the first inning he gave up 8 runs. And we were playing the number one team, and we weren't the number one team. We were far from it. And the first inning he gave up 8 runs. And he said, but after that, he said, we didn't give up another run. And we ended up winning 9-8. We beat this team that had been undefeated. And he started talking about the coach at that time and the coaches and everything. And it's just where I'm going with this is that coach showed us love by giving up his time and being there to coach us and to teach us. And we still remember those coaches to this day, you know. So and I didn't remember that game. He remembered it. It stood out in his mind. But, y'all, we can show our love in so many different ways. But it'll be fruit that will last. It's giving of yourself. It's giving of your time. It's making an effort, okay? And that's really what we should be doing. And so I would ask you today, are you a branch that's grafted into the vine? Have you been bearing good fruit, fruit that will last? Is it something being produced in your life? And now I want to go to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse 16. And it says, live or life by the fruit of the Spirit. And so verse 16 says, I say this, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. There it is, bearing good fruit. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Have any of y'all ever felt that way? There's a fight going on inside of you. There's a fight going on inside of you. You want to let somebody have it because they were rude to you. You want to let your boss have it. You want to, you know, blow up and tell that person off, or you want to be mean. You want to pay back evil for evil. And there's a fight sometimes inside of us that's going on, and that's the Spirit and the flesh going back and forth. And what do you give into most of the time? You know, it's funny because I see that when I'm not at church, when I'm not reading my Bible, sometimes that flesh will win. Sometimes I'll blow my top. The other day I was so frustrated with our insurance company. And the lady called, and I told her I'm paying this, but I'm not paying it, being very happy, and I'm finding a new doctor, and I'm finding, and man, I was letting her have it, because it's like, this is ridiculous. I shouldn't have to pay for this, but I'm sick of fighting with y'all, so I'm going to pay it, because I've got a responsibility to pay it. Man, I'm so mad. And after I hung up the phone, and I sat there a minute, and y'all, it was like $22, okay? So yeah, you can laugh. It's like $22, and I told Chris, I said, it's not the $22. I said it's the principle. It's the principle that we shouldn't have to pay for any of it. My insurance covers 100%, but they put a code in wrong. That was the whole thing. They coded it wrong, and so. But I sat there and I started laughing at myself, like, Pete, you just made an idiot of yourself over $22, you know. It's a principle. But after I'd thought about it a little while, I felt bad. And, you know, I didn't cuss. I didn't scream. But I talked very sternly to the lady. And the lady's trying to explain. And it's not her fault. But y'all, honestly, I got to be honest. The Holy Spirit wasn't leading me in that. It was my flesh. I was mad. I felt like I was being wronged. And the worst won out for that moment. And it's funny because I guess I made such an impression on that lady. I got a call about 5 days later from a supervisor trying to explain it. And I was a little nicer to the supervisor, but y'all, there's a conflict going on inside of each one of us. There's a battle going on. Verse 19 says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Okay, so as I read these, I want y'all to really think, do any of these characterize your life? Okay, this is the sinful nature. If this is a characterization of your life, then you need to repent this morning. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. So you might say in them first ones, I'm good with all those, except for idolatry. You really get to looking up the meaning of idolatry, and that's America today. We have all kinds of idols. But then look at this next little set. This is the acts of the sinful nature. Hatred, discord, jealousy. Any of those? Fits of rage. Selfish ambition. You look around at most businesses and most people to now, they're all about themselves. They're all about what can I do to better myself and my job and my standing. We don't care who we have to step on. We don't care who we hurt as long as it benefits me. Dissension, factions, and envy. You know, some of those things that I'm seeing here, I see them in others. I see them in myself sometimes. I mean, if we had a time of confession, you know, I struggle with jealousy. I do. I struggle sometimes with envy. I'm getting better. You know, I'm not near as bad as I used to be, but y'all, that's not the Spirit of God living in me. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see what that says? Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So let me ask you, is any of those traits in your life so evident that people would say, yeah, I know Pete, he's always full of rage. I know Pete, you know, he's always so jealous. You can't even tell him anything, and he's envious, and he, you know. If that's the characteristic that I'm showing to everybody, then something's wrong. And if that's the characteristic that you're showing to everybody, this isn't Pete talking. He says that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If that is your lifestyle, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what did we just read, though? There's a battle going on. I'm not saying that if you have a moment of jealousy, if you have a moment of envy, if you even have a little fit once in a while, that's not the characteristic of your life, okay? Then you ask God to forgive you, you repent of it, you turn from it. But if you live like that and you're okay with it, something's wrong with your walk with God. Something's not right if that is your lifestyle. If you can act that way and not feel any conviction. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is what we should be full of, okay? When we're plugged in, we just read in John 15 about being plugged in, but this is the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. When I looked up goodness, it says virtue. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. You know, I think that if we who call ourselves children of God live that out because we're so plugged in to the Father. And this fruit is being produced in our life in such abundance. I think people would want to be Christians. I think people would want what we have. I think people would say, man, there really is something different about them. They don't act like everybody else. There's genuine love. There's a genuine peace and joy about them that can't be explained. And they're always so kind. But y'all, that can't be unless we're plugged into the Father. That can't be. Well, it's not something that we manufacture ourselves. Just like those strawberry plants back there that Jeremy and Samantha brought this morning for everybody. What's going on there? Why did she ask us if we needed them? Because they're growing so fast on her, she can't even keep up because there's an overflow of them. She's sharing them with all of us. You think about that with your life. Is there such an abundance of the fruit of the Spirit in your life that it's just an overflow and people's going, wow. And you just want to share with everybody what you have. How many of us are living like that? How many of us are walking in that? And one of the main reasons why I felt like I was supposed to go here this morning was the faithfulness. Because faithfulness has really been on my mind, just like I was saying earlier, with everything going on and everybody getting tired of the COVID, everybody getting tired of the staying at home, everybody getting worn out, and we begin to feel disconnected, and we begin to feel like, what's the point of all this? But a fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. And y'all, that's a faithfulness to our Heavenly Father. That's a faithfulness to our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a not giving up. And if you're not been faithful, and you need to get your life in check. I see so many people that just abandon their walk with God because things aren't just perfect at home. They abandon their walk with God because they didn't get what they thought they needed from the church or from the pastor. And they just say, well, what's the point? But a fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. And in Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast. Don't waver. Let us hold fast to what he has promised, because he is faithful. And then in Revelation 2:10, it says, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. So yeah, we're going through struggles right now, all of us. I don't know what you're going through at home. I don't know what you're going through at work. But you're all here this morning, so you haven't been thrown into prison. You haven't been killed yet. So when you put our suffering in perspective to what could be going on, why are we giving up? Why are we not remaining faithful? Why are we, he says that, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. God, someday. There's coming a day, someday, when we're going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And he's either going to say to you, well done, thy good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. And you can judge where you're at. You can examine yourself where you're at by what we just read, with what's being born in your life. What is being produced in your life? Is it jealousy, fits of rage, anger, all that perversion? Or is it the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness? What is being produced in your life? And have you remained faithful? I challenged y'all. I don't know how many of you accepted the challenge, but reading your Bible every day, I'm going through the book of John, and I read first chapter for 7 days. I read the second chapter. I'm on day 5 or something. I'm just reading them over and over and over again to get it in my heart. And y'all, there's been a couple nights that I almost forgot. There's been a couple nights that I've been busy, But I had to stop because I made a challenge to myself to do it, to do it. And I wonder how many of us have not remained faithful to reading the Word. We haven't remained faithful to praying. We haven't remained faithful to come into church because, we just think it really isn't doing me any good. Y'all, even when you don't see the fruit, it's doing you good. It's doing you good. Even when you don't understand, it's doing you good. Last verse here, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4, and verses 6 through 8. Paul says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing." Y'all, in our society, in our country today, we don't want to fight a good fight. We want things to be easy. We don't want to have to be poured out like a drink offering. And I don't know about y'all, I want blessings, right? We got preachers that are millionaires and maybe even more than that, that their whole ministries are based on the easy street and the blessings of God. But the reality is that some of us, we're going to face hardships. We're going to face trials. But are we fighting the good fight? Are we going to finish the race so that someday when we stand before our Heavenly Father, there's in store for us a crown of righteousness? For some of you young folks, you might say that seems like a long ways away. For some of us older folks, you may be longing for that day, saying, "I can't wait to get to heaven." But the reality is all of us someday are going to stand before our Heavenly Father. Have we been faithful? Are we bearing much fruit? Are we fighting the good fight? Have you been living your life grafted into the vine so that the Spirit is evident in your life? Y'all, this is the time to repent. This is the moment to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. If you haven't been plugged in, if you haven't been living the way you're supposed to have been living, y'all, this is the moment that you... What do? You just talk to our Heavenly Father and say, "Lord, I've blown it. I've not been producing good fruit. I haven't been living the life that I know I should be living. I haven't been fighting the good fight. Lord, I've been giving in to the desires of the flesh." And right now is the time that you just confess and be honest with Him and ask Him to forgive you and ask Him to change your life. Ask Him to become Lord of your life. And you know what? He will. Because He has chosen you. He has chosen you. And you know what? If you make that decision right now and you pull out of this parking lot and you're hit by a semi, you're in heaven. You're in heaven. Because Jesus loves you so much that He died on a cross for you and He says, "I have chosen you." But can I tell you this morning, if you still have that rebellion in your heart and you still say, there's too many things that I think are too much fun and I don't want to give them up. We read that if you live like this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You won't. I'm not trying to scare anybody this morning. But that's just truth. If you live like that, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Today is the day to repent. Today is the day to ask Jesus Christ to save you and to turn from that and watch and see what your life can become. If you've been a Christian for 20, 30 years and you say, "Pete, I've just not been very faithful lately and I've kind of grown stagnant," confess it. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Start seeking Him afresh and new. When the enemy's throwing all these things at you, cry out to Jesus. Fight the good fight. Let's stand. Holy Spirit, You know what each and every one of us needs. You know what we've been battling. You know the areas of life that we've been struggling with. And I pray right now that You would convict hearts. And Lord, that there would be a repentance in each one of our lives, in any area where we've been struggling with, Lord, that we'd turn that over to You, that we'd lay it at Your feet, and that we would begin to live life differently, that we would get plugged into You, and that we would see the fruit of the Spirit just being bore out of our lives, Lord, that it would just come so naturally because we're plugged into You, Heavenly Father, that we're praying, we're seeking You, we're reading our Word. Father, if there's any here this morning that has never asked You to be Lord of their life, that's never repented, I pray that they would understand right now what's going on, what they need to do, how they need to cry out to You this morning. And by faith, we know that You'll answer. Lord, change us. Change me this morning, Lord. You know the areas of my life, the times that there's the fits of rage, the time that there's the jealousy, there's a time that I have no patience. Lord, forgive me. And may I see the fruit of Your Spirit being evident each and every day of my life. Each and every day of this congregation's life. May there be an overflow of Your fruit. So much that those around us would want what we have. May Thy will be done now in each one of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name.
Bring restoration. You bring restoration. You give me joy.
I just feel like that there's some here this morning that there's something so deep inside of them that they feel like, how can God fix it? And I was thinking about the verse when Jesus was talking about how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And everybody says, well, how's this even possible? Then who can enter? Who can be saved? Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Y'all, all things are possible with God. And if you're in a place right now, a dark place, and you feel like there's no way out, it's possible with God. If there's a sin that has so tight a grip on you, and you say, I've tried and I've tried and I've wept and I've cried and I've tried and I just can't get free, don't give up, because all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. The most wretched, filthy sinner that you can imagine, they give their life over to Jesus Christ and He will forgive. Don't miss today. We're not promised tomorrow. And if you've been a child of God for years and you just struggle, a struggle, what can we do? Plug in. Plug into our Heavenly Father. You say, Pete, I still feel no joy. Remain faithful. Don't give up. fight the good fight. Because someday, when we all get to heaven, right? Someday. I think it's going to be so cool when we're all in heaven someday and we're running around and singing and dancing or whatever we're going to be doing up there, and just to see all your faces and to say, we remain faithful. We didn't give up. We didn't give up. I'm not in any hurry for any of you to leave me. I'd rather we all go at once. But there is coming a day when we'll be standing before our Lord, giving an account for our life. Let's remain faithful. Love you, church. Be in prayer for Mike and Stacy this week as they're going through all that, losing Stacy's father, and Colton and Casey. Be in prayer for them that nobody else gets sick, and hopefully Rayson doesn't have COVID, and hopefully the rest of y'all will stay healthy also. God bless you.